Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called us through His Son with three commands unto the church. And those three commands are the new covenant. And that new covenant is in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are covered by Him as we love God, love others, and go. Can I get an amen, church? Because in that, the whole of the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, are wrapped up. And through it, we are working upon our sanctification, which we know as progressive sanctification. Though we are fully sanctified in God, we're a work in progress. Can I get an amen? There is no one in this church that is perfect. When you find the perfect church, you cannot attend. Because as soon as you do, you just broke it. So come to this broken church and feel like a member, because we are all broken children of God working towards that goal. Can I get an amen? And in that, over the summer, since summer has started, and pardon me, man, this heat just dries you out, doesn't it? As we work through the summer, we are going to be working through the entire book of Mark. So open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Every Sunday we will be in the book of Mark. And I'm going to be preaching in a manner that I have not done in a long time. And I was reminded of it by a fellow EA brother. And it's called the one-point method. How many of you love three-point sermons? Okay, I know every pastor is taught in college, you know, as we go through our Bible preaching classes, that the best sermons have 3 points. But then most pastors, because they love to talk, every point has 3 points. And we're here for 45 minutes. Does that sound familiar? Yes, I'm guilty. But I also love this idea. It's called the one great idea. What's the one thing, as we read this text, as we read this scripture, what is the one thing that God is truly trying to impress upon us? What is the number one thing? What is laying on top, okay? When you eat an ice cream sundae, what's on top? The cherry, okay? So if you're like me, you can eat 50 sundaes because you just eat the cherry on top. The rest of it you can do away with. Because the ice cream and I don't get along, so I'll just eat the cherry on top, okay? But I know you all like the ice cream too, so do I, but it doesn't like me. How many of you feel that way with the sermon? Yeah, I'm tattling on myself. So over the summer, we're going to be preaching the one big idea. So we're going to look at it, and we're going to see what's the one big idea that God's trying to get to us right now, right up front. This is Christianity 101. Because when you first come to Christ, do you understand the deep things of God? No, we have to study them out. We have to live through it. But when we come to Christ, we can get that one bit. What's God saying to me right up front? So that's what we're going to deal with all summer long, is that one big idea. So, from the book of Mark, beginning in the very first chapter and the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locust and wild honey. And he was preaching and saying, after me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As we read these words, I want us to understand that God here is saying that he's going to prepare a way. Is God only going to prepare a way for Christ Jesus? No. God is going to prepare a way for all of us. How do I know that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I'm going to read the exact same account, but it's going to be out of the book of Luke, because there's something else here. There's something added here by the author Luke, who shows us that God is literally preparing a way for each and every one of us. So turn to chapter 3 in the book of Luke. Chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 2. Now I'm going to begin halfway through the verse of 2, where it begins with the Word of God. Is everybody there? Sounds good. May the Word of the Lord touch your soul. The Word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough roads smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. So he began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? And what shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Now while the people were in a state of expectation and all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ, John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached the gospel to the people. As we look at these two accounts, the first account told us a little bit about what John looked like, which is kind of strange, because how many of us go around wearing camel hair and eating honey and locusts? Well, do you realize that's the way we look to the world? We look as though we've got two heads and we're eating something that they can't understand. We are clothed in a righteousness. That righteousness is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And the food we eat is the Word of God. Can I get an amen? So when we look at this story, God is showing us that He's prepared a way. He has given us what is needed so that we can be on this path. And does it descend just to Christ? No, it descends to each and every one of us, as He just apportioned here, to the tax collectors, to the soldiers, to all of those who were there, that they would be responsible in the things that they are to do. Your to-do is to be responsible to God in all that you are. God prepares the way. He tells us what needs to happen. He tells us what's coming. That is how God prepares the way. When we look at the book of Genesis, from the book of Genesis, we see that God had prepared everything for us. What was the last thing He created? Us. Everything for us was created before we were created. We were not the afterthought. We were the opus. And everything had to be ready for the opus to come into existence. Please remember, we are going to be head over the angels. Everything that was created for God, for us. Because we are His opus. Did it end at creation? No. As we go through the Old Testament, how many prophets went out before the people telling them what's coming, what's going to happen, and preparing the way for these people? Every book tells us of the things that happened and the things that came and the things that were. And in every book, God has prepared the way for us. Now, here's the question. How well did the people do at choosing God's way, God's will? You see, God can prepare the way. How many of you have a GPS? We turn the GPS on, and we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden we remember, oh, I remember a shortcut. Now, we used to have a gentleman that Lynn and I knew for a long time. His name was Stan Smeltzer. We would say, oh no, here we go, we're going on a Smeltzer shortcut. Because it would ultimately take us 15 minutes longer to do the shortcut than if we just, or 15 minutes longer than staying on the route that we knew. Because Stan's shortcuts were beautiful, but they weren't short by any means. And how many times is that what we do? God gives us a directive. God shows us in His Word that things are coming and things are going to happen. And God speaks to each and every one of us. And we know what's right and we know what's wrong. We know what's good and we know what's bad. But how many of us, because, well, I think I can handle this, we choose poorly? Or, well, yeah, right now may not be the time, but I'm going to do it anyhow, because I think I can handle it. We need to understand, God prepared the way through John for Jesus and for many others. Did they go looking for something else or someone else? Absolutely not. And as we choose well, and as we choose to go in God's direction, we will be changed. And I'm going to show you that here in just a little bit. Because that's the outcome as we look at where we're going. But the thing I need us to see is that when we choose well, good things happen. When we choose well, good things happen. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of Mark. Again, we're in chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13. 9 through 13. Because one of the things I want you to understand as we read this, God literally even goes before Himself. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? And I'm going to get into some of those connotations here in just a minute. God literally goes before Himself. God prepares His own way. How do we know that? Let's read. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Immediately coming out of the water, He saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon Him. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit impelled Him to go out into the wilderness. And He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And He was with the wild beasts and the angels were ministering to Him. God literally went before God. Can you see what I'm talking about? We know Jesus is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. The first and third person of the Trinity were involved. Because God the Father called John to go before Him. And the Spirit of God descended upon Him, preparing Him for what was yet to come. So God literally goes before God. Is God going to go before you? That's the one thing you need to understand. Jesus said he's already won the victory. He's already gone before us all the way to the ends of time. And he has won every battle that you and I are ever going to fight. The question is, are you going to fight with him or against him? Are you going to walk with him and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? And are we going to hear those words, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased"? Because we will hear those words in our spirit as we walk with him and we find the goodness of God. Now, we're also going to find temptation. I want everybody to understand that. It's right here. Folks are like, hey, well, Jesus had everything good. Was the cross good? Yes, we know it had a good outcome, but did it feel good? And isn't that the way our world operates? Oh, it doesn't feel good. Well, did you ever happen to stop and think that maybe your feelings are what God needs to change? Maybe the attitudes of your mind is what God needs to get involved in to get you to where he needs you to be. How many of you have been on the road of life and had to take in a detour somewhere along the line, but you're here now? Yeah, I thank you, Miss Kathleen. That's our oldest member here telling us, and if you ain't listening, she's talking. Because the truth of the matter is, we will go through some tough stuff, each and every one of us. But that does not mean that God is not there. Can I get an amen? That means that God is preparing a way, and that way is to transform us. We are being transformed moment by moment, day by day, into the image of Jesus Christ as we submit ourselves and choose wisely. And that's what I want us to think about here. When we look at this one big idea, God goes before us preparing the way. But we get to choose the way we go. So if it's a bad way, we're going to find discipline. We're going to find hardship. We're going to find trial. We're going to find trouble. If we choose the good way, we're going to find life. We're going to find the Spirit of God. We're going to find the help that we need when the tough times come. And they are going to come. You and I need to understand that how we choose, what we choose, when we choose, why we choose are all important. You know, I think about that when I go through my life here, especially as I'm getting older. I don't have as much time to mess up anymore. I don't want to go around this mountain again. It took 60 years to get here. I don't have 60 years left. So I want the direct route. How many of you are looking for the direct route? I'm looking for the escalator, the elevator, okay? A little less of me and a whole lot more of him is what I'm saying. Can you hear that? Because that makes things so much easier. It doesn't mean it's going to be so easy that there's no trials and no troubles that are going to come. But what it does mean is God's going to be right there working with me very personally to change who I am for his plan and purposes. And as I am listening and submitting myself and truly changing, God is going to make all the difference, not only in my life, but in the lives of everyone who is around me. Is that really true, Pastor Rich? Turn in your Bibles to verse 14. I flipped a page and I didn't have to. It's right there. From verse 14. And this is, again, big idea. What's the big idea? Here we go. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simeon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little bit further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet," and come out of him. Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Here these men were. They were fishermen. They were in their boats. They were taking care of the chores because they had just been out all night. They're cleaning everything up, getting prepared for the next day. What happened? They met God. God literally came before them. God prepares the way. Do you think these guys knew what they were going to be doing in the evening when, or in the, in the morning, because in the morning is when you're cleaning your nets and getting things prepared for the next night because they fish at night. Do you think they knew in the morning what their day was going to hold? They thought they were going to finish up their work and go to bed, get some sleep, and then go fishing again. Well, Jesus said, "No, you're done with that kind of fish. Now it's time to go catch another kind of fish." When we understand that God prepares the way before us, we need to be willing to change our direction. We need to be willing to say, "God, you go before me in all ways, not only to prepare the way, but to move my mind." What is the most powerful thing the human being has? Your mind. You will fight your mind the rest of your life. Or you will submit your mind to God and in that find peace. Now, Miss Jen, are we always at peace? No. Because it's a fight, isn't it? And there's an antagonizer. There is an antagonizer. And he wants to come at us because he knows how hard this struggle is. That gray sponge that's between our ears is the most important real estate next to what? Your heart. So we've got to submit our mind to God as well as our heart. And when the two are in unison, we are whole with him. Because the two become one when God is the rope that ties the knot. It is the same as marriage, husband and wife. Jesus Christ wraps it together and all three become one. When God gets our mind and our heart, he ties it together in him, with him, for him, and we are whole once again. We are the image of God once again. Though imperfect as we are, because how many of us are messed up? Physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, the church is filled with hypocrites, so come on in, you won't be alone. You know, I think it's funny, a lot of preachers say, "Oh, we're holy people." Well, we are, but we're a holy mess. And we're working at it, ain't we? And that's what makes us succeed, because we are working at it. We're going to fail, okay? I'm going to say something stupid to somebody, not knowing. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not perfect. I'm a man. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I think it's amazing how people get upset at pastors. "Well, you're supposed to know better." So are you. Remember, none of us are perfect, but God prepares a way for the imperfect to become perfect. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He has prepared the way. And we are to be on that way with the truth, finding life. Because it is only life that brings life. Death only brings death. And that's what the evil one wants to do against our minds. That's why we're not at peace, Miss Jen, because light and darkness cannot exist together, can they? One is going to overweigh the other. But may we remember, there is nothing and no one stronger than our God. And as we believe that and choose to walk in and through and with Him, we will find the very successes that were being found here by these men. How do you think they felt when they went into that synagogue and seen demons being driven out? Here's these guys that chose wisely, and they're seeing things that they have never seen before, nor did they understand. But they were willing to stick around because they realized this is pretty doggone important. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you stick around, stick it out with God, you're going to see some pretty important things and you're going to see some pretty amazing things and you are going to be transformed. Do you think that these men who got out of that boat had any idea what they were going to see that evening? And it sealed their lives that they would literally commit themselves to Christ forever. And that's where we have to be. In the way. God will prepare the way, but you have to choose the way you shall go. And as you choose, may you choose wisely, may you choose well, and may you choose life every day. Now, does that mean you're going to? Absolutely not. But praise God for His love, grace, and forgiveness. Can I get an amen? And I'm not giving anybody a license to sin, am I? You've never heard me say that. Because when you sin, you're going to pay the price of it. All of us do. It's called discipline. How many of us love discipline? I swear some of us do love it. Because we just keep messing up. So we'll go around this mountain one more time. But when we come out the other side, I hope we turn right. Instead of turning left again. And may we choose well. So today I leave you with the very thought. God prepares the way before you every day of your life. You can celebrate that. I don't care how tough things are out there. The world is going to come at you to make you forget. But may we always remember. And may we declare. I am a child of God, and God is well pleased in me. And choose to walk in the way that God has prepared for you. Can I get an amen? Let us pray this day. Father God, I thank you for the grace that you have given each and every one of us, that you have prepared the way before us. But may we choose wisely. That means we're going to have to learn from you. So, Lord, please tolerate our ignorance, but you have come to remove ignorance. And as we now know, so too may we then be found on the way of Christ. And may you be glorified in all that we are and all that we do. May your word permeate our hearts and our minds, and may you hold us together that we may be one with you, both now and forevermore, on the way of salvation. In the name of the Savior who is, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.